This hour is brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.
I want to thank you so much for joining us and spending part of your new year with us right here on The Retirement Room with John Blanchard, Acadiana's retirement strategist from Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. MatthewJames.com is the website. The phone number, 366-8366. If you have questions about your retirement, if this is the year you plan on getting serious about your retirement planning and want to know where to start, again, 366-8366, online, MatthewJames.com. Did you make any New Year's resolutions, or do you think that's a waste of time? Here's what some people told Facebook.
I don't think you need a specific date to make a resolution.
Any change that you make should be like a lifelong thing.
People always have these unrealistic goals.
I might walk out of this place right now, and that's it. So I think a resolution really is just not something that's realistic.
I'm not going to do it.
I never stick to them.
All of them failed.
I used to every year, like everybody else. I'm going to get thin. I'm going to do this. I'm going to eat right.
You know, rather than setting all or nothing resolutions, some experts actually recommend setting smaller, more achievable, attainable goals. For somebody who wants to get serious about their retirement planning here in 2024, what's the first step, John, and how big of a time commitment is it really?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, you have to make an assessment of where you are today. Same thing when it comes down to, physical training and if, a lot of people are like, okay, I'm going to go to the gym. The last couple of days, it's the amount of people I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. Between Reds or Apex, another place that I go to, a lot of new faces. I mean, there's people that I've seen, January of the last several years, but they don't continue on in March and April and definitely I won't see them in September. But this is normal. This is typical. But the thing to do is just like, if you want to change your physical self. You have to look at where you are today. What is the starting point? What are you consuming? How much exercise are you having? What is your daily step count? How much sleep are you getting? So the same thing goes with your finances. We got to look at where you are today. If you're in your 20s or you might be 65, where are you at today? How much longer you plan on working? Or did you retire already? What investments do you currently have? Do you have any debt? And if you do, where is it at? Is it just a mortgage, or do you have a mortgage and a car loan, or a mortgage and two car loans, or a mortgage and two car loans and seven credit cards, or a student loan? We have to look at where you are today. And then from there, let's look at the math and figure out, okay, how do we create a plan to reverse engineer your situation and get this paid off a lot faster? Cut down time and interest. Obviously, I'm talking about debt. So, look, we have people come in, and we have a specialized software that takes like what Dave Ramsey does with the snowballing, which is a very simple concept.
Yeah.
But we're doing debt stacking, and so with debt stacking is we're basically cutting down even more time and more interest payments because of a special calculation that looks at balances, interest rate, minimum payment, and if you're paying anything extra, and creates a payment schedule to pay these things off faster. Now you might be in a place where, hey, look, we can go get a debt consolidation loan with a bank or credit union, depending on interest rates. I mean, I'd imagine most banks are going to beat any 29% credit card.
Yeah.
But ideally, we got to look at how much debt the Americans consumers are in right now. I mean, it's at an all time high. You have to like back up and look at, okay, what is my spending habits? Like years ago, I was doing a lot of work within the school systems. I had about 9 different school districts that I went in and I helped out teachers and other faculty members budget and have a plan to get out of debt and finding out how much money they should be saving between them or them and their spouse if they're married towards retirement, their kids' college savings, their daughter's wedding, their kid's first car, like all these things. And what we see is most common is like, man, I don't know where the money's going. And so you need to do an audit. Do an audit on like, let's say 3 months, non-holiday months if possible, because obviously, unless you can identify those that holiday spend, whether it's Christmas presents, you're buying extra candy for Halloween, ramping up your house to have Thanksgiving, at your house, or maybe it's July and you're going to be going out for the 4th, these different, milestones that we have throughout the year. So what you want to do is look at 3 consecutive months of non-holiday spending, mm-hmm. Just a normal, normal scenario. But what happens is I would see people that, they didn't know where their money was going. And so I would do an audit on their personal expenses. And I'd ask them, like, how much do you think y'all are spending eating out, fast food, you know, that kind of stuff a month. And they're like, ah, you know, maybe $350. And I already know the number because I already did the audit. And so it's kind of like a question to kind of see where they are, that they have a good understanding, you know, of their numbers. And so, you know, I had people that thought they were spending $350, $300, $400 a month, and they were spending anywhere from $1,300 to $1,800 a month on fast food.
Wow.
Restaurants. Like a fast food, I'm talking about like let's say going to Chick-fil-A, going to McDonald's, going into, you know, like sitting in it, like going eat at a restaurant, going to Zia's or Charlie G's or wherever, whatever it is. And then, but also the convenience store. You know, I can break down like, okay, if I'm putting $5 of gas or something like that, you know, that's one thing. But, you know, when you can tell it's like I'm walking in, you know, grabbing the Kit Kat bar, the 20-ounce bottle or even maybe bigger soft drink, maybe a Monster or a Red Bull or whatever, you know, these things add up, obviously. So, like, I'm adding that in because that's a consumable, you know, that's going down the pipe. You're eating that. You're drinking that, whatever it is. You know, but ideally, you just got to look at where is the money going. Do an audit. You know, like run your household like a business. You want to turn a profit. You don't want to be break even every month, or you don't want to be in the red. We got to get in the black. So we got to look at where is the money being spent. So you got to look at where you are today. And then from there, you got to think about, okay, I need to change these habits. You know, for a lot of Americans, you know, after they pay their bills, they don't even have a comma in their checking account. But we got to look at what's going on in the economy. Look at, you know, what do we need to do to make sure we're spending the right amount of money, we're not overspending, we're not accumulating more debt, but then we're also putting more money away. We're maxing out maybe our employer-sponsored retirement plan. You're getting a match through your 401k. You're maxing out your Roth IRA if you're still working. If you have an HSA, making sure that you're maxing that out. Whether you're single, you're single with a child, or you're married, max it out if you can. So it's a matter of getting your finances in order to capitalize on this.
And it all starts with, you know, honestly being realistic about your goals. The saying, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Maybe, you know, getting that 5 digits in your checking account isn't something that's going to be instantaneously, you know, doable, you know, certainly within, you know, by the end of January having that situation. But maybe, you know, certainly, you know, having 3 digits and then eventually working way up to 4 digits. I think a lot of the reasons that, as we've illustrated here, a lot of the resolutions kind of fall by the wayside is because people set these realistically unattainable goals for them, and they become discouraged because they're not seeing the progress. Celebrate the small victories as they come, and you know, having that stick-to-itiveness helps with having a lot of discipline. And if you lack, you know, that discipline, that's okay. That's a common thing, but you can get that, you know, instilled on you. Have that quote-unquote personal trainer by your side in the form of Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, helping you create the plan, craft the plan, and sticking with the plan to get you to, through, and beyond retirement. MatthewJames.com is the website. The website GoBankingRates.com said that a well-managed 401k should be sufficient for a comfortable retirement. John, I have to wonder, do you think a well-funded 401k is enough? And if not, what is missing in more of the traditional retirement plans?
Yeah, I mean, look, ideally it's a matter of having other money than money that's not been taxed before, because we got to look at if, you know, you've only contributed to an account, which we see a lot of people. There's so many people that come through our door that we help out that they're it's all heavy. It's basically almost 100% allocated into tax deferred, you know, but we were always pitched, that's the best route. But ideally, whenever you're looking at untaxed money in our high debt country's environment right now, you know, having a lien on 100% of your, you know, 100%, almost 100% of your net worth is not too good. And I mean by lien, like a tax lien, because Uncle Sam gets to control how much money you get to keep as they get to change the tax code. And as you're withdrawing money, and then how does that money offset, basically, or how does that money stack up whenever you're receiving income from Social Security or other sources of income? So you might be jumping into higher tax rates that you weren't even unaware of. And we got to look at, what is your effective tax rate? What is your marginal tax rate? So ideally, it's a matter of looking at, you know, putting money in the right areas, and to where you get, it's either, you know, you have tax deferred treatment, which those dollars get taxed at ordinary income no matter what. Then you have money that, and look, I had a guy that came into my office that, 2 weeks ago, that he was actually looking for a job, and he was a financial advisor, and he was like, "Well, I'll tell you what, come give me a pitch, tell me what you talk about." And so he was telling me how he moves money from a 401k to an IRA and a certain type of investment on an IRA. And then whenever they take it out, they pay long-term capital gains. I'm like, dude, that is 100% incorrect. Yeah. He's like, well, that's what they told me. Mm. And I'm like, no, dude, no, not at all. And so, you know, there's a lot of people giving out bad information. And so you got to look at how to, you know, you have some money that's going to be treated as ordinary income or could be. Then you have money that's, you know, tax-free, such as a Roth or maybe municipal bonding interest. But, the key thing with the municipal bonds, that interest could trigger your Social Security to get taxed. But also you're looking at the vulnerability of the municipality in the event they mismanage funds. You know, that's an issue. And then you have a taxable account, which means you receive a 1099 on any dividends, interest, and capital gains. So there's a lot better tax treatment on that bucket than a tax-deferred bucket. Now, granted, a tax-deferred bucket, one of the big benefits is that you can buy and sell positions inside that account and doesn't create any taxation, or just like a tax-free account such as a Roth, that has the same treatment where you can buy and sell positions and there's no taxable treatment. But whenever you're dealing with a taxable account, any movement that you make triggers a 1099, you know, some kind of reporting, short-term capital gain, long-term capital gain, short-term capital loss, long-term capital loss, dividends, interest, those kind of things. So we just have to look at what is the behavior of the investment. You know, what tax bucket you're putting your money in, taxable, tax deferred, or tax free, and then from there, how to create a withdrawal strategy to lower your tax impact between those three buckets, and if you're receiving social or a pension, or maybe both social and a pension.
We are now 2 years away from the expiration of the current tax rates as they stand right now, the projected expiration, unless Congress does something to delay that. The Trump tax cuts will end at the end of 2025. At that point, they will revert at a minimum to the previous administration's tax rates, which are a little bit higher, and they could possibly go higher than that. They could possibly increase taxes. Why would they do that? Well, $33 trillion. That is our national debt right now. That is what the country owes, and that money has to come from somewhere. Where do you think it's going to come from? So having a tax strategy in play when it comes to your retirement is critical. It's as important as the income side of it. And should not be neglected at all. And that is why, you know, John takes taxes, and John and the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, it is right there in the name. They take taxes very seriously, and they want to make sure that you pay what you need to pay, but don't pay a cent more. And being able to develop the strategies, way to mitigate those taxes can go a long way towards giving you a little bit of comfort as you enter into retirement. It all starts with that phone call, 366-8366. Even if you're not getting ready to retire anytime soon, you know, knowing the rules, the ins and outs of the tax code and how to make it work in your favor, John and the team can help you with that. 366-8366 or online at MatthewJames.com. This is the season to return gifts, and American retailers, they're trying to get a handle on them. A lot of companies are actually adding a $7 fee to return items online. Even Amazon has tacked on the dollar surcharge for some customers using UPS stores to ship items back. I've taken advantage of that many a time. Hidden fees, they can also sneak their way into retirement plans, John. How do you help clients avoid those?
Yeah, I mean, ideally what we want to do is an assessment of, you know, what they have. And so when people come in, that's one thing that we do, whether they're coming in for tax planning as a business owner or they're coming in as an individual, is we want to do an assessment, figure out exactly where they are. What are they, you know, if they have a 401k, what are the fees on that 401k? What are the expense ratios on the funds? Is there any kind of other transactional charges? You know, what we do see a lot of fees in is in variable annuities. These are the most expensive financial vehicle that you can come across. You know, variable annuities, you have a mortality and expense charge that's typically around either at 1% or right north of 1%. You have riders. You have a death benefit rider. You have an income rider. You also have – those are around 1%, could be half a percent, but typically around 1% for each of those. And then you have a sub-account fee is what – you know, the lingo that they use. But bottom line is a lot of these insurance companies have these mutual funds, either proprietary mutual funds or they're brokering them. More often, it's the most expensive options because that's what, you know, that's how the company brings in the most revenue. So typically when we see these types of financial vehicles, you know, it's around 3.25% to 3.5% someone's paying on an annual basis. So, you know, that's a problem because if your account's not performing enough, well, you know, each year, you know, and you're withdrawing money, or you're maybe you're performing negatively, you're withdrawing money and you're still paying that fee. I mean, look, that's a your principal value is going down. Now, granted, you know, that word annuity, most people think I need it for income. You know, I think I just don't like the structure of a variable annuity. There's people that make a living off of these things and they pay high commissions. I just don't like it. I'm not into commissionable securities. You know, I mean, there is a time and a place from an account value. Typically what happens is, and most people start off in this. What happens is, you know, most people don't just kind of just walk into a financial advisor's office and drop in 50 grand, 100 grand, you know, 500 grand to start investing. They have to start somewhere. So for the person that's starting out, look, I'm putting, you know, 25 bucks away, 50 bucks away a month, 100 bucks away, whatever it is, whatever that number is, it's a small increment. So, you know, the option is you can't really go and buy too many stocks with that amount of money. So what happens is you start off with a mutual fund. Look, it's the time and place for people that are beginning. Look, it's a great vehicle. I mean, the negative is they're higher fees, but you can at least get started. Mm-hmm. And then once your account value gets to a certain point, then you can sell the mutual fund and you can turn around and go buy maybe an ETF. Maybe you can turn around and get inside of a managed portfolio of ETFs. Maybe you can get a managed portfolio of stocks, or you can turn around and buy, you know, individual stocks at that point. I really don't think, pretty convicted about this, you don't have to be in a mutual fund long term, because that the high expense and, you know, it's not tax efficient. There's a lot of other things that we have to look at. So what we have to look at is time and the place of where you need to be, you know, what's the ideal things that you have to look at, but understanding the true cost of your investment vehicle. So the assessment that we do is we look at, you know, what you have invested, and we actually have a beautiful spreadsheet that we put everything in and show you exactly, look, this is how much you're paying on each different type of vehicle that you own. This is your effective fee with them. And even like, okay, if you want to look at us, what our allocation would be, because we have numerous different strategies that all have a different fee along with it. It's not just, we don't tell people, oh, you're just paying 1%. No, that's not how it works. So everything has a different cost associated with it. So we show them the total cost for that individual investment. And then we can show them exactly how much they're paying from a dollar amount, and then what is their effective fee percentage.
You know, just like with taxes, what we talked earlier, when it comes to fees, you know, once you pay those, that money's not coming back. Now, we can argue about the value of taxes. Sure, that's a whole other conversation. But, you know, the value in fees, that is something that you can actually legitimately see. You know, I am paying X amount, and yes, I am actually getting value for that. You know, when it comes to entertainment expenses or things like that, you know, and you can judge. You don't know until you know what you're actually paying. And so that all starts with having that fee analysis done. And John and the team at Matthew James Tax Wealth Management, they can help you with that, to, you know, taking that first step, like we said earlier, 366-8366, or go into the website, matthewjames.com. Again, always available online day and night, matthewjames.com. When the Fed began raising interest rates in April of 2022, inflation was at 8.3%. Fast forward to today, inflation stands at 3.1%, with interest rates hovering at 5.5%. If you are counting, that is 11 rate hikes over that 17-month span. So the question now is, when are those rates going to start coming down? Barclays' Megan Draper tells CNBC she's not expecting that until later this year.
I think it's more about retaining control and ensuring they've got confidence that 2% target is within reach. At this point, we've got a ways to go before that's the reality, and the easing of financial conditions is problematic for them. There's not a major economy barring China that probably gets to 2% inflation by year end 2024. Our call is 2.8% by year end. So I think we're well into 2025 before we're hitting that 2% landing. It doesn't mean they can't pivot and start cutting prior to that. I think they'll be preemptive, but we think that doesn't play out into the fourth quarter.
I want to remind you, there was a time where they called those interest rates, that inflation rate, as transitory, and here we are. But I digress. John, if those 5.5% interest rates are here to stay for a while, what is your outlook for 2024?
Well, look, okay, so let's look at it this way. Let's say you're really, really ill, and you go to the doctor, multiple doctors. What is the worst thing they can tell you after they run all kind of tests? I don't know. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the thing that we're at. And, you know, I subscribe to a lot of stuff, taking a lot of, you know, a lot of data, a lot of information, read a lot of reports, look at a lot of historical things. And, you know, I don't know everything. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what we're seeing here is that where we're at today, with, you know, where the market's at, you know, that Magnificent Seven pulling, you know, is really the big performers for 2023, what we saw last year. But ideally, you know, we got to look at the debt of corporations, the debt of individuals, the debt of our government. We have to look at, you know, the interest rate environment that we're in. What is the housing data? You know, you got to look at all these different things. And it's like, we've never been in a situation like this. Now, another thing too, when you look at it over, you know, historically, whenever the Fed raises interest rates, typically 11 months later, there's a recession. Mm-hmm. But also, whenever they raise interest rates, typically it's over a three-year period, not in that short window that we saw. You know, I mean, 17 months is a lot shorter than 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. So ideally, we got to look at what's going on now with like in and how like China controlled a lot of things with, you know, with the auto manufacturers. You know, they can't produce vehicles. So then you saw used vehicles jump up in price 25-50% because of the scarcity of new automobiles. Now, you know, dealerships are starting to get vehicles. Granted, those recent auto strikes that we saw, like I have a vehicle on order. It's been on order for 15 months now. Mm. Okay, I've been waiting. I'm finally going to get it. I think next month we'll see. You know, until I drive away with it, I don't have an idea.
Yeah, exactly.
But bottom line is that we got to look at what's going on with the current economy, the current market. You know, how much, you know, what's the big picture ideally. So the whenever, like in other countries, there was a reverse market crash whenever after they had risen rates significantly and then they started dropping them. Because what happened was is you took a you know, we saw the home pricing jump whenever rates went down. And so people were okay, you know, paying these you know, notes because the interest rate was X amount. But then, you know, we still have some scarcity of inventory on the market. But realistically right now, who's going to want to, if they locked in at, let's say, a 2.75%, 3.25%, 15-year, 30-year mortgage, who's going to want to sell that house in refi for 6.5?
Yeah, no one.
For 5.5, nobody. So the thing is that what from what I've been seeing from these economists is that they're projecting for housing prices to go through the roof. And so what happens is whenever the from what I've been seeing, like I said, is it concrete? I don't know. Do I hope it's going to come true? Absolutely not. But what happens there is they're projecting there's going to be a bigger separation between the wealthy and the middle class. And the people that are in that lower middle to poor are going to be struggling a lot because of interest rate cost. So that's a big thing that we have to look at is, yeah, okay, the S&P, the Dow might jump up in value hundreds of points per month or per quarter in the event they do that, because whenever you make money cheaper again, you know, but how does it affect the rest of the market? So you're going to see pricing on positions, you know, per share get out of reach, or an ETF pricing out of reach maybe. You know, so we're going to see what's going to happen in the future, but also we're going into an election year. You know, we're going to look at what's going to happen on, you know, the RNC, DNC, you know, whatever these debates happen, and then coming in you know, November on, you know, for the election, how does that going to work out? So ideally, there's a lot of things that we have to look at, a lot of unknowns, a lot of things that we have to pay attention to. But, you know, the thing is right now is that, you know, current rates, now granted, they're going to start lowering them, which is what they're projecting to do, is, you know, we're not going to see a money market paying 5.25 or a CD paying, you know, 5.25, 5.5. You know, you're not locking in CDs at most banks or credit unions or other, you know, institutions at like a 3 or 5 year time period, like at a 5.75% rate or anything like that, because they don't foresee the markets, you know, paying those kind of numbers in the future. And so we have to look at that and look at, okay, current markets. Look, right now, let's take advantage of it with that money that we have sitting on the sideline. You know, but what are we going to look at moving forward, because the market's at an all-time high? You know, even though it's been volatile this year, last year was pretty negative, this year it's up. But really, it's seven positions, you know, that's really carried the market to where it is today. And so we have to have a strategy moving forward. We have to look at, okay, what is, you know, what are the vehicles that are paying great interest rates? We got to make sure we're preserving principal. We have to look at how to, you know, how to get that capital appreciation. But it all depends on where you're at. Are you 20? Are you 40? Are you 78? You know, what age are you? What are you trying to do? What is the purpose of your money? What are you trying to do with it? And then also, how is that money going to get taxed as well?
You know, we've talked about timing the market and how that is nigh impossible to do. But there is something to be said about these interest rates right now, as they have held fast and will continue to hold fast for a little bit here before they start going down again. This is the time to really take advantage of them working in your favor for things like CDs, money market accounts, you know, being able to lock in these rates. We probably won't see them this high again in the future. And so being able to use it to your advantage. Now, of course, that is not supposed to be the entirety of your retirement plan, but, you know, a portion of it certainly. And you know, controlling what you can control. Yes, this is an election year. And of course, yes, get out there and vote. Control that. But we can't control, you know, ultimately what the other states are going to do, how this election is going to turn out, cast our vote. But we can't control what the market is going to do. We can't control when those interest rates are actually going to come down. But being able to, you know, deploy yourself in a way that regardless of what happens down the line, you know, you've accounted for all these things. The fact that there will be market fluctuation in your retirement. There will be multiple elections over the course of your retirement. But again, once again, using these interest rates to your advantage and then knowing that taxes are going to go up in the future and start making moves now. It all starts with a single phone call to John Blanchard, to Acadiana's retirement strategist and the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. 366-8366 is that phone number. That's 366-8366 or go online to MatthewJames.com. And as always, want to thank you for joining us, starting your new year off with us here on The Retirement Roo with John Blanchard. Hope you have a great week ahead of you. Hope 2024 is great for all of us out there. John, as always, grateful for the time. Thanks so much. And as we wrap up, want to leave you with the final word.
Yeah, Chris, man, I appreciate your, you know, time this morning. And look, this is, you know, we're going into our sixth year now,
yeah,
which is pretty crazy. I mean, who would have thought? But look, we just try to put out good content, great information, strategies, you know, on how to build wealth and lower your tax liability. And we're going to give a lot more tax strategies this year. So please continue to listen. If you're the first time, you know, first time you're listening, or if you've been listening since the very first show, be sure to tune in next weekend. We'll be here right here on KPIL 96.5 News Talk.
Matthew James Financial Group is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency and does not provide legal or tax advice. Please consult with your attorney, accountant, and/or tax advisor for advice concerning your particular circumstances. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. Bonus annuities may include higher surrender charges, longer surrender charge periods, lower caps, higher spreads, or other restrictions that are not included in similar annuities that don't offer a premium bonus feature. Read your contract for restrictions, limitations, or penalties. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through John Ronald Blanchard, Louisiana Insurance License Number 529925.
Investment advisory services are offered through J. Hagen Capital, Inc., registered investment advisor. Insurance products offered separately through John Blanchard, license number 529925.
This hour was brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.